Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Adam Strawn.
Well, hello there.
And joined by Ewan Patterson.
Nice little Obi-Wan reference there, Adam.
Is there any other kind of Obi-Wan reference?
General Tailford.
I've gathered you here to talk about various things. I thought we'd just do a roundup of the talking points that are doing the rounds across the industry. One of the biggest ones being the GTA 6 trailer being announced for the beginning of December. And there's also a Mass Effect 5 teaser that's been revealed, which apparently is in-engine, which they barely got out there. One of the devs had to tweet and say, by the way, that thing that you've seen that you think CG is actually in engine, it could potentially...
Oh, by the way.
Hey, by the way. Letting you know that it's actually going to be in engine. And then also there's a hilarious thing that's happening in regards to live services, where you've got Sony and Warner Brothers both sort of coming at the idea of live service games being the future from completely opposite ends of the spectrum, which is hilarious for the consumer because only one of those perspectives is going to win. But we'll get to those things. Let's talk about GTA stuff. It's been announced across the last couple of years. There's been various Rockstar earnings reports that mentioned the next Grand Theft Auto installment. We've always known there's going to be a GTA 6. But finally, over on X, the Sam Houser, who's one of the main sort of minds behind Rockstar, one of the only remaining minds at this point behind Rockstar, just did a series of tweets on the main account just saying, hey, please look forward to it. GTA 6 is going to happen. No trailer, though. No images. Nothing at all. Just some text. And then there'll be a trailer at the start of December. We can have a wider conversation about GTA. But I guess thoughts on GTA, Adam Strawn?
Sorry, just when you said nothing at all, I was thinking Ned Flanders,
nothing at all.
That's my thoughts. I mean, obviously, you know, it's exciting. Like, this is going to be one of the, like, hopefully pioneering games of the industry, right? Because everyone gets excited whenever, like, Rockstar's going to do something, and what are they going to do with this, and how are they going to mix it up? What new things are they going to bring in? And obviously, there's been, you know, speculation since, like, there was some stuff leaked, like, a while back. Remember when, like, in a conversation, like, between them, I'm sure it was, like, a Slack conversation or something. There was some stuff that was leaked a while back. So I'm just, you know what, like, excited. I mean, Red Dead 2 for me was, like, one of the greatest games ever made. And if they are kind of working from that same process, I know obviously there was a lot of crunch and everything like that, but if they're working to that type of level and scale, I think they're on to an absolute winner, and I'm just excited to see more.
You thoughts on how it's actually going to be?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we had the actual big video leak as well last year, where they showed off different bits and bobs, and I was kind of disappointed by that, because again, like, I think we talked about this in the podcast earlier in the week, in the wind-up. I was like, you know, I'm a Rockstar fan, but I don't really, I'm not, GTA isn't the big thing that I care about Rockstar
right.
for.
Same.
It's very much like the other stuff that they're doing. However, I'm always going to be down for a new GTA game. It is literally going to be the biggest video game of all time. We've been waiting over a decade for this thing. I just hope they skew more towards that Red Dead tone rather than the GTA 5 tone. It's going to be interesting to see how this game pans out in the post-GTA Online era. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where I'm almost like sick of talking about GTA 6. So
it's
actually having
weird,
something tangible to have is going to be great. Obviously, it's great for us. It's going to be the biggest game of all time. There's going to be lots of stuff to dive into.
Yeah.
I don't know the release date tentatively. I think maybe like it could be the end of 2024, 2025.
They're apparently penciling it in for 2025, but that's just like a rumor. Like there was a whole thing about how we'll get the first teaser at the beginning of December, which is assumedly be some sort of in-engine thing, and the actual proper reveal. It's weird doing such a flat announcement for an announcement. Like, hey, by the way,
he was just like, wait, he's like, I gotta get it out, man. I've been holding this in too long.
But it's like, it is one of those things. I literally want to take a minute to talk about where we were in 2013, just for what comes to mind for that, because everyone's doing the thing at the minute where were you in 2013 versus where you are now. And like, I've been at War Culture 10 years as of October 10th, and I remember starting, one of my very first articles was about GTA 5, and then GTA 5 finally came out, and I remember our boss, like, overall, I was gonna say at the time, but he still is, saying, okay, now do everything about GTA 6, and it was like we just pivoted over and started talking about GTA 6. That's how long I've been covering the idea of GTA 6, is over 10 years.
Wowza.
I was 17.
I feel ill.
I was a little baby. I was in A level.
Right.
I hadn't even gone to uni yet. I hadn't even discovered what Newcastle was.
Right.
So wow. It's a completely different moment in my life. And I didn't actually play GTA 5, I should clarify, until the generation remaster upgrade thing came out, like, in 2014, yeah, the PlayStation 4, whatever. Mm-hmm.
The nuts thing as well, is that the GTA 5 released on the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360.
Oh my God.
That's how long.
Oh my God.
Like, I know we're essentially just different ways of qualifying or quantifying a 10-year gap, but like, if you were in high school, you were 7 to 10 or whatever, now you're 20.
Like, we wouldn't have anticipated this wait being this long. No. Like, that was three years after Red Dead 2. It was a year after Max Payne 3. Mm-hmm. Like, 2 years after L.A. Noire. Rockstar had a lot of games coming out at the start of the 2010s. And since then, we've had a bunch of GTA 5 mm-hmm. and Red Dead 2.
Yeah. And GTA Online.
And GTA stuff. It's well, Adam, where were you in 2013?
Oh, this is going to sound really douchey because I was doing my master's degree in Manchester. So, like, that's where I was. So I was not writing about video games or anything like that. I was writing about theater and performance, mm-hmm. which is what my degree's in. But obviously, I remember the impact of the game coming out. And I'm similar to you, Ewan. Like, obviously, I was nodding along when you were talking there. Like, GTA is not the biggest, like, pull for me towards Rockstar. Like, mm-hmm. obviously, Red Dead is. But I just remember, obviously, you know, You know the impact of when that game came out. Every single person was talking about it. It was on every single billboard. And like, you couldn't avoid conversations about it. And I'm Captain Comes to a Game Late when everyone's over it. So like, I started...
I love that superhero.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Captain. I'm board the ship. But literally, like, so I started playing it like way late. Everybody else was already over it. And I was like, oh, actually, you know what? This game's pretty good. And everyone was like, yeah, Adam, welcome to like modern day. And I've done that with so many games. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It's definitely the GTA I've enjoyed most. Mm-hmm. I did love, little shout out to GTA London with the best soundtrack ever.
More people need to shout out GTA 2's little expansion London thing.
Yes, so, so good.
That whole era, I remember, that's the thing, the length of time that we've had GTA 6 rumors and the general idea of what GTA 6 could be, that was one of the mentions that it would be, that would steer back into the UK and everything.
That is the source of what I want GTA to be, right? Because that was set in the 60s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, yes. I want another, like, last past retro set GTA we had was San Andreas, which was set in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Did that come out after or before Vice City?
That was the one straight after Vice City.
Yeah, so like that, and Vice City and San Andreas, the two most beloved GTA titles. We know that Rockstar do their best stuff when it's set in the past, but obviously with the modern day, you could add more stuff. You could add new technology. You could add new things, mm-hmm. bits and bobs. But I'm not going to like belabor any negative stuff here, because like, it's cool that it's being made. Loads of people are going to get it. It's going to be exciting. Mm-hmm. It's nice to get a new game from Rockstar, who are the industry leaders when it comes to crafting immersive narratives and like massive AAA experiences. So, and again, this has all been done with, you know, we've had the Jason Schreier reports over the last few years as well about how they've recalibrated their development practices. Apparently, you know, the workplace culture at Rockstar is way better now, less crunch culture and stuff. So, yeah, here's hoping it pans out.
One part to that point or whatever is that, like, because GTA Online makes so much money, apparently internally, there was a whole deep dive on this. Might have been from Bloomberg, might have been Kotaku, a couple of years ago, about how they just don't need to get it out the door. They can take as long as it needs. And that's interesting. I mean, another recent project that had the same ethos was Super Mario Wonder, where Nintendo were just like, it's Mario, there's no rush. Take as long as you want, do whatever ideas you want, and we'll kick it out when it's ready. And then Mario Wonder is the most experimental Mario there's been in years, like, especially on the 2D plane. Similar thing with GTA. They are in no rush. I remember that report saying that they were very aware of the fact that people want GTA 6, and now it's been 10 years, or it'll be 12 years by the time it comes out. But at the same time, they're one of the only studios in the industry that can afford to wait, and GTA Online still keeps ticking over. GTA 5 is still in the top 10. It never left. Like, in 10 years, like, is ludicrous.
Going to be, call it now, the biggest selling game of all time.
Yeah, it already is. Like, it's GTA 5 is, like, the biggest selling entertainment item ever or something. Like, it's something ludicrous. But, yeah, I guess you were mentioning, like, the Rockstar set stuff in the past and Vice City and those little time capsules. And I love, Vice City is my favorite, and San Andreas is, like, right next to it. The rumors for GTA 6 are that it's a return to Vice City. The stuff that leaked was, like, a more modern-day Vice City, and there's twin protagonists, and it's still based around heists and setting off things like that and doing various crimes and everything. I guess to round that stuff up, what do you think? Do you think they need to change anything? Or do you? I know, Strong, you're like the biggest GTA fan, but what would get you in?
You know what? Like, as long as there's that big focus on narrative, like when they're telling a really interesting story, then I'm back in. Like, for me, the story of like Red Dead 2, I wouldn't change a single thing. Like, no notes. I think for me, that was so. The narrative informed the gameplay so beautifully, and I hope that they really lean into that for development again. Plus, like, the dual narrative between, I believe it's a female character as well, that's very heavily rumored. So. That for me is like, automatically I'm interested, how are they going to do this with the dual narrative? How are they going to bring it together? And that for me will, GTA 5 did it really well in for a majority, vast majority of that game. So as long as they take it down that route, I am fully invested.
I mean, the words that have been used to describe the story have been Bonnie and Clyde. I love that movie. That movie. Yep. If Rockstar can channel some of the energy of that film into this story, then I'd be really excited. Again, I'm kind of like, I'm a little bit put off by the fact that it's modern day again, because I feel like that indulges Rockstar's less pleasant storytelling sensibilities. I really want them to kind of tone down the irreverent, like, human. I think, you know, Jason Schreier has mentioned in these reports for Bloomberg, and even going back to when he was at Kotaku, I think he has mentioned that there has been a change in kind of like the culture at Rockstar, and that maybe, you know, some of the humor that we got in GTA 5 that was really stupid. I mean, I'm not really into this whole thing. I just need it to actually have a declarative statement and like actually be brave enough to stand by, you know, its whole like meta criticism and themes and stuff, which I kind of thought GTA 5 didn't have. It was very scattergun, quite South Park. He was going to make fun of everything and then see what sticks. I want them to have more of a focus here. Get that character-driven drama from Red Dead Redemption 2, absolutely. But yeah, obviously make it fun. Like, GTA is the fun sandbox game as well, so don't make it too sanguine. Like, actually do... Mm. Oh, sorry, pathos-ridden. Actually have it be fun at the same time. But,
that's fascinating, because, like, I kind of do want them to lampoon everything. I don't mind them being self-parkian, but you've got to get it right. At the same time, though, Rockstar have changed so much. They've matured so much. Like Naughty Dog, like the early days of Naughty Dog versus where they are now, and then, like, Rockstar's most recent celebrated work being Red Dead 2. Like, that idea... I remember when Red Dead 2 came out, and it was like, oh my God, is the next GTA going to have us stopping at traffic lights and obeying all these laws and everything?
Oh, I hope so.
And I was like, maybe you could do that.
I always, that's my open world thing. I stop when I play open world.
Oh, do you?
Okay. Yeah, you pay the traffic.
Oh, man. I wait for like 2 minutes and then I'm like, you know what, screw this. And I just go straight over.
My thing was like, there's a potentially a way to do something like that. I don't know how you would. Like the LA Noir, it was at them, the Mafia games were the ones that would ding you for speeding and stuff. And so there's maybe a way to do that. But my overall point is that I wonder what GTA is like in the modern day, the modern world, when you've lost a lot of your key creatives that were responsible for that original tone. Like, I like how cartoony and over the top and ridiculous those original 3D games are. And for me, GTA hasn't been the GTA that I love since San Andreas. Like, I don't mind GTA 4, but I really didn't like GTA 5. And so I think their search for an identity is so fascinating. Like, what the living hell even is GTA now. I think that's going to be interesting to see. But yeah, next overall talking point is Mass Effect. I keep forgetting N7 Day's a thing.
I know, right?
Which is like, we're massive Mass Effect fans. And they put out like a little teaser. Like I said at the beginning, it was actually revealed to be in-engine, not necessarily in-game. But it did include what looks like a new protagonist, which looks like a female character in like a long flowing coat. She's got like a high collar and wearing like a helmet and kind of has like a bio augment device on the back of her or whatever that thing is. Maybe it's like a morphing jetpack or something, we don't know. But it kind of looks like Mass Effect meets Tron, and I was like, this is a fascinating way to go. And it's like, one of the rumors that's doing the rounds is that you'll be focusing on the assassin wing of N7 or some sort of assassin character or something, doing various shady shadowy operations locations around the Mass Effect world. Mm. And I was like, that's kind of cool. Like, I like the idea of infusing Mass Effect with what Thane was doing in Mass Effect 2, like the idea of the smuggler assassin world kind of thing. That might be a way to go. You're doing some good faces.
Espionage stuff in Mass Effect would get me around to it like a bunch. Like, I'm not a Mass Effect guy. Like, I really bounced off playing the first game as soon as it got to the vehicle levels.
Really,
I absolutely hated them. But I mean, I'm always down to maybe try it again at some point. I think
Like, it's so good.
The sci-fi universe like really didn't resonate with me.
That's
like, I feel like I'm very picky with sci-fi stuff though. Like, I feel like Star Trek and Star Wars are the benchmark for me. And like, obviously so many great filmic sci-fi universes we've been treated to over the years. The only game one that I've really like really resonated with has been Halo. Mass Effect kind of felt a little bit kind of like jigsaw-y, hodgepodgy. Like, again, I could be completely wrong. These are takes that I've not evolved since I was the age of 14.
I would love, if you ever happen to have enough like wants to go back, I'd love to see what you thought about it now. Because it's like, I still think the first two, when the Legendary Edition came out and they remastered the whole trilogy, I ended up preferring Mass Effect 1 to 2, even though I loved 2 when they originally rolled out. Still hate 3, but 1 and 2 are still, I would say, absolutely phenomenal, like gold tier 5-star standard stuff. But Adam Strong, thoughts on the old Mass Effect?
Oh, I'm just so excited. Like, Mass Effect, like, this is for me, like, classic BioWare, I absolutely adore. Obviously, like, you know, where they are now, big question mark, but you know, like, this could be the game that saves them, you know, and obviously the new Dragon Age as well, which is very exciting for me. But obviously, like, Mike Gamble posted a lot of like sneaky teasers as well in his blog post, as he always does, the sexy little minx. But he put in there, I mean, he asked a lot of questions straight away when he, you know, he was like saying, what the heck is going on with our Asari scientist turned shadow broker, which obviously leans more into like what you were just saying there about, like, you know, the espionage kind of area of that, which would be really nice because they've really pushed like her as Liara, as like this main character, right? We had like the voice kind of note that came out in one of the teasers.
She was in the first visual teaser as well.
Exactly, with the word defiance redacted, which is really interesting because underneath his post, he then put something else where he hid like a lot of zeros and ones in random words. And if you went through and actually took the time to do this, but if you took them all out and put them in a line and actually ran them through a binary decoder,
yes,
it came out as the word epsilon, which is the fifth word in the Greek alphabet. So it's kind of like referencing, people are saying in a way, that Andromeda was game number 4 and then this is going to be number 5, which is really interesting. But as well, to go on the actual teaser trailer that was released, apparently he even tweeted saying, look closely at the teaser. Okay. So there's a few things in there. People are saying that they potentially spotted a Krogan in the background. There are sky cars flying past. So obviously, like, that's, you know, talking about this civilization that we're going to be interacting with, kind of like on the Citadel, I guess we did. And then also the canisters that you see as you walk by, they have the same color coding as Cerberus. So it's kind of like, are we going back into this again? Which is really, really interesting. And as well, that the poster that was posted, which the beautiful gown for days, which, you know, we were talking about November courts recently. That is November.
It's a high collar season.
It's the whole thing.
Pop that thing.
It's the moment. But on that court, obviously on her on the bottom part of the court, on this character, you can see like there's people in a bar.
Right.
Different races, different creatures. And you can see in there, you can see Hanar, Salarian, Geth, Turian, Asari. But then you can also see potentially the Angara, which you see in Andromeda. So the Geth, they're back, question mark. And Angara, like,
in pog form?
Just collecting them. They're back. So there's a lot here to get your teeth sunk into. And I'm
in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry? Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You found really way more than I did.
I was just like, baby.
I was just like the person walking around and being like, oh, it's cool. Like the amount, like the Tron vibes from the helmet. Yeah. And then the color scheme's awesome. And the key art's really cool. And I like the idea of like an assassin main character or something like that. Mm. Yeah, that's the kind of fascinating part, is how much they acknowledge Andromeda. Because even some of the plot stuff that was planned for that was canned. Like all the DLC stuff just didn't make it. I don't know how salvageable that stuff is, because it's kind of just off in another galaxy anyway. Mm. So I guess they just do with the main timeline.
My lasting memory of that game is the really funny Krobi cat video.
Oh yeah,
it's like just the butt twitching and the eyes. Oh god, the eyes.
That thing was an absolute abomination. The thing that's fascinating, which is kind of ironic, just as you bring these things together, is that BioWare, like Rockstar, like, you know, they have this studio identity, they have this like period in their time, like you said, classic BioWare, that they haven't been able to live up to for like 20 years. Like it depends which kind of version of BioWare you like, but the version that we got towards the end of the 2000s, like the Mass Effect 2, like that general era, that was such an EA-ing of BioWare. And it's interesting where they are now, where, you know, they have suffered layoffs like many other studios have across the last few months. And, you know, is that identity even possible anymore? Like the founders left after the EA acquisition, and like they've struggled since then. And so, like you said before, like, is this the thing that's going to save them? That's what makes it fascinating to me.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it depends on where you came into BioWare, right, as well. Because, like, I'm talking about, like, you know, not to be that guy, but, you know, I started playing, like, you know, Neverwinter Nights. That was my, like, introduction to, like, BioWare. So, I mean, a lot of that, like, identity of BioWare is very much gone now. Those people are gone.
Oh, yeah.
But then, you know, they merged into something new. So, like, when Mass Effect came along, obviously, there was a lot of veterans then who have now left, and obviously Dragon Age as well. Mm-hmm. I still love this kind of modern era of that classic BioWare, and I was fully in. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I know you mentioned Mass Effect 3, and it did get, you know, in the ending, it got a lot of things wrong, let's be real, but there were still a lot of points of that game that I really, really loved. Mm-hmm. And again, it is just that driven by characters, that, you know, narrative up until a certain point was really, really solid. And there's still things like summoning the Thresher more, and like everything to do with that, and it was just phenomenal. Like,
there's some really good payoffs.
Really awesome parts of that. But yeah, so it'll be interesting. Again, like, are they paving a new direction, like going off just like good feeling of what they really want to do? Like, how much is like studio intervention guiding them as well with this? Like, it'll be interesting. But they have taken their time with this, and with the new Dragon Age as well. So we were talking about like studios taking their time. It's absolutely the way forward. When your product is made to the level that you want it to be, then release it. We've seen the opposite happen so many times.
It's weird with that approach, because there was a thing, it was a good few years ago whenever they announced Dragon Age Dreadwolf, where like the trailer that happened at the Game Awards, might have not been the Game Awards, might have been that year's E3, it was a good few years ago. But it came out that they just submitted that trailer, BioWare themselves submitted that trailer without going through EA, just to prove because they wanted to show the world something, to prove they weren't down and out
good for
after
them.
Anthem. And then that got enough kind of conversation going that at the time it was reported that that staved off more layoffs or closures or whatever the hell might have happened after Anthem.
Yeah.
Because the handling of Anthem was abysmal. It was going to get rebooted. It was going to be Anthem 2.0.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Unfortunately.
And it's like, that's the bottom. Like, if we talk about like worst case scenario, best case scenario, they can assumedly only go up now. And there is positive reception around, let's just call it Mass Effect 5 or Mass Effect Epsilon or whatever the hell it turns into, which is awesome. There's not been positive BioWare buzz in ages.
Yeah.
Although the Legendary Edition was received well. Like, they are nice remasters of those games. They did go back into them and tweak a few things and some lighting in certain levels and stuff. So it's more than Konami have done with the Metal Gear one. So that's kind of cool. But Ewan, I guess it's almost like the reverse GTA question. What would get you into a new Mass Effect?
I mean, I think a clean break from the old canon, like I don't mean like a reboot. I mean, like, let's just have new story, new characters. Let's go to a different point in the timeline, maybe.
You don't want to feel like you have to have played everything.
I don't want to have to have done homework, because, again, like, I don't know if I might go and revisit them, Scott. I have no idea. I don't think I will.
You should.
But something that was like espionage-y. I'm in a big like spy phase all of a sudden right now. I dipped my toes into rewatching GoldenEye last weekend, and now I'm just rewatching all the Bond movies. So anything that keeps me in that space, I'm going to be looking forward to. So, I mean, yeah, I love sci-fi spy stuff. Like, that is a cool concept.
Yeah, same. I mean, I think it's one of the... I was always fascinated what they could possibly do, and they completely squandered the potential of Andromeda. Like, the whole idea that... I mean, it's too inside baseball specific Mass Effect stuff, but like lots of that trilogy is about how many people will not believe your main character that there is an invasion of these big aliens and everything. Mm-hmm. So Andromeda was just, hey, what if someone believed and funded a mission to go do something about it? That's a cool thing to do. And then they squandered it and they didn't finish the DLC, et cetera. So I keep using the word fascinated by it, but there's so much business reality to it all. And there's so many weird stumblings and failings and different identities over time for the studio that I just hope something positive comes out of it. Speaking of business stuff, let's end talking about your friend and mine live services. Did I say friend? I meant hated entity that won't leave. Won't leave the room at all. I did a big rant on this morning because I wanted to do a conversation about just how many different parts of the gaming industry are on fire. But there's a specific thing to focus on, and I'll pass it to the two of you. It's just a conversation on the way the generation's going to play out, the future of the gaming industry, because right now it's fascinating, again, seeing Sony and Warner Brothers approach this from two different points of view. You've got Sony saying, reported very recently by Hiroki Totoki, the new head of PlayStation, saying that they had 12 live service games planned for the end of 2026. This came initially from Jim Ryan, who's now retiring next year, which I'm reading as dude can't make any of this work and he wants to GTFO. But Hiroki Totoki is now saying that they're reducing that number and they're hoping they can get six of them over the finish line by the end of the financial year 2025, which will be March 2026. So you've got them saying, we don't know, but we're going to kind of do half of them. Don't think this is really what we are, but we'll see. And then you've got Warner Brothers, CEO David Zaslav, doubling down on live service stuff in a recent financial call, saying that he wants more stuff, wants more on live components, more live services, make everything a live service, which I thought was hilarious because you just delayed Suicide Squad a year to presumably to remove those components. I said all of this in a big rant this morning, but just thoughts from either of you, Mr.
Ewan. I need to ask the Animaniacs a question. Where did you go and how did you let David Zaslav ruin Warner Brothers? Yeah. They should be in there. I need Yakko, Wacko and Dot to go into his office and menacingly threatening him with like cartoonish baseball bats, whatever. This is just ridiculous, man. Yeah. Like David Zaslav genuinely really upsets me as a person because he's the epitomization of content. Like he's the content king. And it is so, so typically on brand for him in 2 years of stupid business decisions that he will come out and put his foot in the gaming space, which he doesn't have a clue how it actually works, and then go, oh, we're going to see some really big moves in the live service thing. We're really excited about
this. It's the future.
And it's like, so endlessly frustrating. A decade of missed opportunities from Warner Brothers games. No sequels to Batman Arkham since 2015. Got Rocksteady working on a stupid Suicide Squad game that is completely outside the cultural zeitgeist right now.
Yeah.
Have, Warner Brothers Montreal go through like three different games cancellations. Then they get to do Gotham Knights, which again, they get something out, but that takes way too long to happen. That was 9 years since Arkham Origins came out. They managed to get Gotham Knights out. It's just a complete shambles. And like, even with like the Lord of the Rings stuff, they had the Middle Earth developers monolith. You know, we could have had like, they ruined that.
They patented the Nemesis system.
They patented it. They're going to put it in the Wonder Woman game, which I can't imagine will be a live service title.
If
they're going to try and make it that way, then it's just going to relearn the stupid lessons from Shadow of War. Scott,
I forget when Zaslav came in because like Shadow of War was 2017 and that was the game that had the orc loot crate. 2017 was the apex of the worst of the monetization stuff in gaming. Battlefront 2, Shadow of War, even For Honor, like Ubisoft's For Honor, there was a whole thing around that. Earning the premium currency would take you thousands of hours if you wanted to try and get it yourself. And I remember the pushback and you'd think that we'd have learned from that. And I remember thinking as the turn of the generation switched over that this generation will be better for it. And it's like some stuff is better, like some game, like Gotham Knights, I really enjoyed that game.
Agreed.
The worst parts about it you can tell are the remnants of what would have been the live service stuff.
Yeah.
And the different skins, the different unlockables, the loot components, etc. And like trying to just force that to work when it is so roundly rejected. And also on the live service front, especially this year, so many games have shut down. Like Babylon's Fall, the Evil Dead game barely lasted a year. The Avengers game didn't work. Like, it just, it ain't it. But I don't know why they can't accept that it ain't it.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Like, I kind of like, for Warner Bros. For me specifically, it's like, it's very upsetting because this is a studio, as a movie studio, it owns like it's one of the most beloved studios in Hollywood, right? Even aside from the gaming stuff, and it's in the hands of a tyrant. And like the gaming side of things, they have so many beloved aspects of, like, you know, they have the entire DC universe to play with. Loads of movies in the locker that they could be quote unquote exploiting in a positive way in the gaming medium, taking advantage of that interactive space. They have loads of talented developers, loads of talented studios on hand. It's just frustrating that once again, at a moment where everyone else is doing the opposite thing, this man is so thick that he's just going to commit and stay the course of his own stupidity. Like, I genuinely, like, I don't like going after people like this.
Right.
But screw him. Genuinely.
He doesn't know he exists.
Doesn't know what he's doing at all. Yeah, I'm giving too much weight to what culture here. But yeah, I mean, Warner Brothers, I need some kind of hostile takeover. Just someone come in and please rescue them. Like,
it's one of those things, and bless you, Adam Strawn, say it through the book.
That's okay.
But also, like, it is one of those things where it's so nakedly obvious that the business minds are at the top. Now, we've seen that across the board, but it is one of those things where Warner Brothers and Disney have David Zaslav and Bob Iger making such nakedly content-focused, empty, soulless decisions. And when it crosses over into the gaming space where everyone is more vocal about the things that they love, it blows up like this. I do think it's hilarious just seeing the reality of on Sony's side, dealing with the fallout of what Jim Ryan tried to put in place. And then the dude that wants 12 live service games in the next 2 or 3 years actually says, I'm actually going to retire. So you handle this now. You take care of it. And then they've got so much money invested in those titles. And there's different monetization ideas. And all the stuff with Bungie, how they were like an internal team that were going to review everything. But they missed their revenue target by like 43%. And so they've now suffered layoffs. And it's like nothing to do with this model works whatsoever. Adam Strawn, quick look.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I share a lot of what you guys are saying as well, but it's just a shame that, like, you know, it is businessmen that are like kind of making the decisions behind all of this and not an actual game developer that would think about how we can make something entertaining for people to play. Like, the question automatically in their minds is, how can we make money from this thing? What will make us the most money? And, like, you know, it seems like for a lot of times, like, gone are the days of when it's like, oh, how can we make something that would just really be fun?
Yeah.
That would get a lot of people on board, and that would bring a lot more people, then in turn would obviously make money. I get it's a business, but at the same time, you're doing yourself a disservice by pushing that to the front and thinking with that type of perspective. I hate live service games, if I'm honest. Obviously, if I haven't made it clear enough, I like my solo-based gaming. Like, you know, I'm absolutely here for that. Like, give me that. And all of my... some of the best games that have come out this year alone have been those solo adventures, right? Like, absolutely incredible.
They're also the highest selling games of the year as well.
Yeah.
Like, the highest selling game of the year is The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, there followed by Hogwarts Legacy, also including, like, the Jedi Survivors of the World and everything else. Like
Baldur's Gate 3, like Alan Wake 2. Like
Dead Space, Resident Evil 4.
Exactly. Like, if that isn't assigned to these people that this is what people enjoy, then I don't know what is. It's kind of two things. Like, you know... don't get me wrong, I've tried live service games before. I've played stuff like The Division and stuff like that. But it's when you take an...
bad one.
is there any good ones? But when you take an already established IP, which is really great at doing a solo thing, and then deciding, oh, I know, let's push it into doing a live service. I mean, just stop right now.
Yeah.
And then or approaching development. I need to go back to BioWare for a second with Anthem. I mean, BioWare like are renowned for doing what they do best, which is narrative-driven games. Oh, let's give them BioWare this live service, and then look how that happened. Mm-hmm. So, like... yeah, for me, it's just, it's a shame. It's clearly business decisions guised as gaming, and that's the downfall of this whole thing.
Like, even, like, incorrect business decisions, though, because, like, we have the stats to show that. I think this is just some guy who's, like, really into Genshin Impact at Warner Brothers, and he's like, we could do Gotcha, but we could do it for Batman.
Yeah.
Batman Gotcha. And then David Zaslav's like, Batman Gotcha, that's some really forward-thinking, let's get those chits going. Let's get this energy going, and then just, like, snowballs from there.
The thing is, like, I want to look at all sides because they keep getting greenlit. And it's like, yeah, Genshin Impact's actually a really fascinating example because, like, that did come out of nowhere and did blow up so much and now does dominate the space. And so you can see...
don't,
like,
underestimate the anime fans, man.
True. And it's like now, you know, they have Honkai Star Rail as their next game. And it's, I haven't seen that talked about anywhere near as much as Genshin, but it's out there, or it's about to be out there. And it's one of those things where, like, you can see why, if you didn't have a creative bone in your body, you would point at that and be like, we need one of them. We have Batman, do a one of them. And I am oversimplifying it, but it doesn't feel like I am at the same time, because it just seems like when you look at the reality of what's happening, it does seem that simple. And then the majority of us, I think some of this is medium specific, like it's gamers, it's gaming mentalities, it's having needing to have satisfying gameplay mechanics, etc. That's where it hits the rubber, hits the road, and it doesn't work. And they all shut down. The fact that an Avengers game didn't work is ludicrous. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that you squandered that is insane. Like the fact that you couldn't make that work.
Like the moment of peak, that was the moment of peak bag fumbling.
Yeah.
And that was like, what, like post end game, like literally 2020, so a year after everyone was riding that end mm-hmm. game buzz, and it came out and was like,
You just completely squandered the potential of that massive IP. Same with all the Star Wars stuff as well, for the most part, with like Battlefront 2 and everything. But yeah, it was just one of those things where across the last sort of 24, I guess by the time this goes live, it'll be a few more hours, but it was a few different news things that all happened at the same time where I was like, oh my God, live service stuff is still being talked about. And I needed to do a rant and I needed to talk about it some more. So we'll keep an eye on stuff. I'm curious what the rest of the generation pans out like, but they won't let this go, at least not for the next couple of years anyway, to get some conclusions on it. And I guess to round it out, back to the start, we talked about GTA. There's whatever the future of GTA Online is, a game that does have its own monthly pass as well. So there is that to factor in. For now, though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Adam Strawn.
Goodbye, everyone.
Joined by Ewan Patterson. And we'll catch you very soon. Goodbye.
Bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.